from the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Media Knoxville. This show belongs to you at 656-9900. 656-9900. The sports you need before sunrise is on the air. You're inside the starting lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
I don't know how many streaming devices you own. I don't know how many different streaming services you subscribe to. But I know a lot of people out there, they probably, can you count them all on one hand? Is it more than one hand? I know for me, it's almost two hands for me. I do a lot of live streaming. I do a lot of video streaming. It's just kind of the way of the world that we live in today, especially during a pandemic. Well, I will have to say, if there's one different streaming service that I'm really disappointed in, it's probably Netflix. Do you remember when Netflix first came out and you could have almost everything? Your favorite TV shows, you went back, there were shows from your childhood, there were shows that perhaps maybe were your favorite, you could go back and instantly watch some of the seasons. And now, Will, it's to a point in time where they're loading it full of their own movies, and there's just not a lot to watch. You are a movie connoisseur. You do a lot of the movie viewing more than I do. I've been very disappointed with Netflix recently, and it's one of those things where, dude, I'm going to be real. If they're going to start jacking up prices, they better start putting more content on there that's enjoyable not just for me and you, but for people of all ages, would they not? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. If we're to get to the science of it, or I guess the programming of it, the idea for Netflix is they want to put as many things as they can that people will just kind of sit and scroll on their phone and just let run through. It's not so much about trying to get people to watch it or being great or being good or anything like that. It's just there's a reason why they usually don't, for most shows, let them get past three seasons of anything. So that's one of the things that with Netflix, I guess, that's a little bit bothersome. So they intentionally don't put out things that are that particularly great, though.
I was just recently doing some digging, and I will tell you there are a lot of people in the world of sports that stand out, one of which is just kind of everything about him, from his offense to what he does on and off the field for the New Orleans Saints. If you missed the story yesterday, Netflix is making a Sean Payton movie. That would be Sean Payton, head football coach of the New Orleans Saints. And, you know, it's funny because whenever you start talking about characters or actors or people who should be part of a film, when discussing one person, doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be sports, but Will, two people who I just don't believe that go head-to-head together would be Sean Payton, New Orleans Saints head football coach, and actor Kevin James. But Netflix, Kevin James, Sean Payton... I have to say, man, if there's one thing that kind of goes vinegar and peanut butter here, or jelly and ketchup, maybe I'm a little off base here, but whenever I read what you wrote when I did my own digging, it just, to me, two things that just didn't seem like it would go together, the actor Kevin James and Sean Payton, but yet that's the direction Netflix is going.
Yeah, look, here's what's weird, right? Like, if you were going to say, if we're going to play, it's almost like they're playing Mad Libs with, give me a figure in sports that we're going to make a movie out of. And so it's like they're playing Mad Libs, and someone just said, give us a figure currently in sports, Sean Payton. Give us an actor, Kevin James. Bam, they just made a movie. And so Netflix is making a movie about the year that Sean Payton was suspended because of Bountygate, and when he was not able to coach it, to coach the New Orleans Saints. So that's what Netflix is going to do right now. But it brings up the question, if we're playing like our own TSL version of this and we're programming and creating our own sports biopics, who in the world of sports would you like to see a sports biopic or a Netflix series about if you had to choose?
To me, this is so easy. The second that you said this last night and we were programming our show and I read the article about what Netflix was doing, I just went, if there is one person where I can go back and I can see everything he went through, from what he was doing on and off the football field through the whole situation that led to one of the most controversial yet head-scratching situations, tell me it's not Manti Te'o.
Oh, man, that would be incredible. I would watch the crap out of the Manti Te'o
story. Would
you not? Oh, yes.
Just the inside catfishing. How did he get lured in? How does a guy who's a Heisman Trophy finalist, how do you find a way to be able to just hook, line, and sinker? You got a cliffhanger after every episode. Is this where he finds out it's not real? How does he get embarrassed like that? I mean, I'm getting a little bit of kind of like chilly. I've got a sweater on this morning. I'm getting kind of chilly right now. Like, who in the world was trying to, like, absolutely just ruin his life but also catfish him at the same time? And he's brokenhearted. There's drama. There's suspense. I mean, Will, I am hitting, are you still watching Netflix 14 times during this Manti Te'o series?
Yeah, man. Yes, absolutely I would watch the Manti Te'o series. People forget how great he was. And I don't mean good. Yeah. I mean, he was absolutely incredible. And I remember when that Heisman, during that Heisman Trophy race, how many people were sending his messages like, why is this guy here? And I'm like, you've never watched Notre Dame. You're not watching Notre Dame play, right? And it's
not
okay. I'm not, like, it just, a lot of people I don't think around here were aware of how great Manti Te'o was. He really was just ridiculously dominant on the defensive end. And then the whole thing with the girlfriend happened and the catfishing story happened. And I think it's like when Ronda Rousey finally got beat, it just broke him. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it just completely broke Manti Te'o from that point. For me, if I'm choosing one person currently in sports, I would say Josh Jacobs. From living in a car and being homeless when he was a kid to going to Alabama and getting a scholarship there to, you know, never really breaking through the starting lineup until the final two games of his entire college career, and then now being a member of the Oakland Raiders and being a fantastic running back. I think that would be a really, really good story. What is it? For some reason, I just blanked on her name. What is the sprinter from LSU that she's really pretty, and I cannot remember her name to save my life, that was on the Olympic team forever. But she grew up homeless as well, and she hid her homelessness until like middle school as a kid, living in Louisiana, and then eventually became an Olympic sprinter. You know what I mean? Like, she did. So why can I not remember her name? But she's,
Lolo Jones?
Yeah, Lolo Jones. Yes. I would watch a Lolo Jones series as well. I think that would work if you wanted to go for similar reasons. If I'm going Tennessee, if you want a Tennessee flavor to it, and I'm looking historic here, have you ever read about Richmond Flowers?
No, I'm not. I'm not familiar.
Richmond Flowers played, he was in the 60s. He was a track All-American, and he played football here as well, and played for the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants. His dad was an anti-segregationist in Alabama, the state of Alabama, in the early 1960s. So he was one of the top guys who was the district attorney in Alabama, and he fought George Wallace left and right when it came to segregation. And so because of all the death threats that his family received, Richmond Flowers left Dothan, Alabama, didn't go play for Bear Bryant, came to the University of Tennessee, was on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 19 years old. He was a three-time All-American in track, good enough to get drafted and play for two NFL teams as well. But he grew up with dyslexia, asthma, anemia, and had to overcome physical ailments to get to the point where, and all the death threats that his family got, is because they would, his dad would prosecute KKK members that attacked civil rights leaders. And the governor of Alabama at the time didn't want him to do that. And so it was wildly unpopular. He was very vocal critic of people that tried to block African-Americans from being able to go to, you know, integrated schools. And because of those death threats that his family received, late-night phone calls, things like that, having to move the family around in the middle of the night because of the death threats from the Klan, he decided not to go to Alabama. He goes to Tennessee and is good enough to become a three-time All-American, get on the cover of Sports Illustrated, get drafted by the Dallas Cowboys, and then play for the New York Giants after his Cowboys career ended.
Netflix is making a Sean Payton movie starring Kevin James. We ask you this morning, who in sports would you like to see a movie made about? 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. That's Will West, Tyler Ivins, third member of our team, Eric Kane, with your first Tennessee Lottery Sports Update. 99.1, the sports animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Rick Barnes has filled his final vacant spot on the Tennessee basketball coaching staff and adding Justin Ganey. Ganey comes to Knoxville by way of Marquette, where he served as associate head coach this past season. He's coached and had administrative experience in the ACC, Pac-12, Big East, and more. Lady Vols softball team shut out Tennessee Tech 8-0 Monday afternoon to improve to 29-6 on the year. Chelsea Seger and Riley West each had two hits while combining for three RBI on the day. Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman has announced his retirement, finishing his career with three Super Bowl championships in 12 seasons in New England.
Now, I've always said, I'm going to go until the wheels come off. And They finally have fallen off. I'm going to leave you guys with two words. Foxborough, forever.
That was posted to Julian Edelman's Twitter account yesterday when he announced his retirement. Edelman, who turns 35 next month, ranks second in NFL history with 118 postseason receptions. And the Atlanta Braves dropped an extra-inning affair to the Miami Marlins in 10 innings, 5-2-3. Have fun now and later with Quick Cash from the Tennessee Lottery. Stop by your nearest retailer and add Quick Cash, your Tennessee Cash, Lotto America, and Cash for Life ticket. 614, Pete Michaels Traffic's coming up next. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will, 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Will, I want to talk about a very, very, very good wide receiver. One who's announcing his retirement after 11 seasons in the National Football League. Not an extraordinary wide receiver. Not a fantastic, not an all-worldly, not a class alone by himself at position wide receiver. But a very, very good wide receiver in Julian Edelman. Fails the physical yesterday. He decides to hang it up. I mean, if you think about it, the guy, whether he was punt returning early in his career, he came out of college as a quarterback, if he was a target for Brady, Julian Edelman had a very, very, very good career, and it's unfortunate that his body has given up on him after more than a decade of playing football for the New England Patriots.
At 5'10", 198 in the program even, the fact that he was able to play this far into his career is probably pretty impressive, if we're being honest, right?
Oh, yeah.
I do think... There are a lot of people who could have and have done that job for the New England Patriots over the years. There was the, Tom Brady played a huge role in what his career was. I do think, okay, to some extent it almost feels like if you're part of the Patriots dynasty, and especially if you were a longtime member of it or a multi-year member of it, it's a lot like being a New York Yankee, where you're just going to be, I think, and again, I'm not trying to like kick Jed Edelman right when he retires, instead of honoring him, just say, well, this guy sucks.
Right.
There's this push from people to say that Julian Edelman is a Hall of Famer.
Thank goodness.
So Julian Edelman's not a Hall of Famer, right?
Thank you. Will, you say so many things, and I'm just thinking to myself, oh, I don't agree with that. And then you and I have a nice little back and forth on the air. And then you say things where you bring a softball bat to a baseball game pitched by Randy Johnson, and you put that ball so far over to the next county, people are concerned that there are going to be meatballs that are flying from the clouds in a matter of moments. You could not have hit this ball any harder and could not have squared it up anymore. You are 1,000% correct. And I know that doesn't work well in sports radio. We're supposed to go back and forth and hate each other a little bit. It's exactly what is happening right now. This is the Jeter if he wasn't a Yankee conversation. This is the Juliet. Please continue. Don't let me step in front of you, dude.
Well, I just 1,000%. Three full seasons, right, that he actually played. I mean, he played a number of seasons, but he was just injured a ton, and that's... It comes with it. You know, I mean, it's the NFL. That happens. So, I mean, his longevity is pretty amazing, and it probably has a lot to do with the way that he prepared his body. He had 3 years where he was over 1,000 yards receiving. The most touchdown receptions he had in a single year was 7. And I know clutch, look at the playoff numbers. He's second behind only Jerry Rice when it comes to playoff receiving yards in the playoffs. Man, he was in so many playoffs, though. So that's part of it. And he was an integral part of teams. So you don't take anything away from Julian Edelman. I think if you're a Patriots fan, there's a lot. You should honor Julian Edelman. We should all look at it and say, wow, what a good player. He was not a great player there, Ivins. You're 100% right. Julian Edelman is not a Hall of Famer.
My man, this is always a difficult conversation to have because it's almost as if, like, people get frustrated when you don't recognize excellence, right? This isn't a North versus South type thing, okay? When you talk about these franchises, we're not ignorant. We do recognize the strength and the dominance and what was the superiority over all franchises for an extended period of time, okay? There are certain fan bases when they are as large or they have viewership that is as large as the New England Patriots, as the New York Yankees. If you grew up watching a team that was very popular, or they had their own TV network, or they had TV rights, their fan bases are going to be very large, which means that in many conversations, in many circles, you're going to hear about said product repeatedly, over and over and over again. And then eventually, popularity tears through, and that's how you kind of have just kind of this mass takeover of popularity, and that's kind of how everything else kind of begins. a lot of people then start coloring outside the lines, and that popularity starts getting suffocating, and it gets to a point in time where things just start becoming just not reality, if you will. They're just, the conversation starts leaving a little bit of a, well, just legitimacy, if you will. It's okay to like a lot of things. You know, it's kind of like Marvel movies. Marvel movies are fantastic. There are some people out there that would lead you to believe that the Marvel movies are the greatest films ever produced and filmed in cinematography history. Okay, well, that's just simply not accurate. There's a lot of things out there that are great, okay? The Godfather, those are great movies. Those are fantastic movies. It's not the best trilogy ever made. I understand, and then, you know, but a lot of people, popular belief will have you say or have you believe that's the case. Will, Julian Edelman was a fantastic football player. He was. The things he was able to do, the catches he was making to keep the Patriots alive, the go-to plays you knew he was getting the football and you still couldn't stop him. I'm not going to allow popular belief and the bandwagon and what the franchise has become out of Foxborough to make me believe and make me even consider the fact that this guy should even be in the starting blocks of a conversation of being a Hall of Famer. Now, comparing it to the Derek Jeter Yankee thing, that's a little bit different because at least Jeter had the numbers. And when you looked at him, you went, nah, he was pretty good. If you have to keep fighting this argument to even have a Derek Jeter conversation, I totally understand. But, man, to me, anybody who wants to have this conversation, I guarantee you this thing, this pot is being stirred out of some market like Boston, close to Foxborough. And simply put, I don't even know if this conversation needs to get passed. One sentence of, is Julian Edelman a Hall of Famer? Let's discuss. No, he's not, period. No exclamation point, no period.
Let me throw you out the advanced statistics. I think that Edelman is beloved by the Patriots fan base and the Patriots during the Patriots dynasty. So I understand why people would stomp and make the argument. They use, at Pro Football Reference, they have Bill James, his Hall of Fame monitor that he used for baseball and created
Perfect.
For baseball. They apply that to football at Pro Football Reference. The average score for Hall of Fame monitor for a Hall of Fame wide receiver is 104.56.
Okay.
Julian Edelman is 36.18.
Thank
you. So as far as the advanced statistics, it's not there. If you look at similar players statistically throughout their career, Daryl Jackson, Al Toon, T.J. Houshmandzadeh, Dwight Clark, Lynn Swann, who's there, but it was a different era, Terrence Mathis, Carl Pickens, Greg Jennings, good wide receivers, not great wide receivers, not all-time great wide receivers. You just can't put Edelman in that conversation.
It's okay to just be a good player.
Yeah, absolutely. To have had a really, really, really solid, nice career and been incredibly clutch, and we respect everything that you did, but you're not going in again.
Like, do you remember that Super Bowl against the Rams? There was absolutely no offense, and people were like, this is a snoozer. Why are they putting the Rams and the Patriots together? I mean, he still went, I believe it was 10 for 141. I mean, that's great. Julian Edelman, early in his career, was fielding punts, and he was making people look foolish. That's fantastic. You can put in a little trickery because he was a quarterback at Kent State. Awesome. He had a beard. He was an attractive guy. He was a bachelor. Like, there's so much to like about Julian Edelman. Girls salivated over him. Boys wanted to be him. And Patriot fans loved him because it was Julian Edelman, eh? Let me tell you, Sam Adams. It's just like, that's great. He is a likable guy. Please don't make him out to be anything he isn't. And to anybody out there who is trying to build something that is just not there yet for any player or any franchise or any fan base, let it build, let it breathe, and let it mature into something. Don't just look at a small sample size of what somebody does during the first 3 years of their career, first 4 years of their career, and don't let somebody just build on what happens in the postseason. He's got three rings, and he was a pivotal part of what the New England Patriots did. He probably doesn't find success elsewhere without Brady and Belichick, and you can almost say the same thing about the Patriots having Edelman in their system. Let's not make it out to be anything more than just being a very, very good football player. That's Julian Edelman after 11 seasons hanging it up with the New England Patriots. 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. This is where I'm supposed to tease. Do you believe Julian Edelman is a Hall of Famer and give out the phone number? This isn't even worth the conversation. Because there's nobody out there who can possibly give me any stat or give me any argument that Julian Edelman deserves to have a bust in Canton, Ohio. That's Will West, Tyler Ivins, 99.1. You're listening to The Sports Animal. Taking place in 2021. Will West, Tyler Ivins, 656-9900. And, Will, you know, you recently look around at some of the people who are getting prepared. This would be the final preparations for an extended stay of 2 weeks over at the Olympic Games, trying to fight what so many people do for over 4 years, or over 3.5 years, and that is preparing for the Olympic Games. But, Will, recently, the Tokyo Olympics, a lot of people in Japan, due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, there's a lot of people who are worried that perhaps the game should either be postponed again till next year, or perhaps after all the money, the billions of dollars they invested in Tokyo, Japan, and across the different cities in Japan, they should be canceled altogether.
72% of Japanese residents who were surveyed said they would, that it should either be postponed or canceled, the Summer Olympics this year. That is a 72% is a strong supermajority in anything that you look at whatsoever.
Startling number.
On the one hand, you have the amount of money, the billions of dollars that they spent in infrastructure to be able to have these Olympics. And you have athletes who have trained and a lot of athletes who, you know, that they would have aged out after a year. Or they couldn't afford to pay for the training for an extra year to make it to the Olympics and things like that have already had to really, really, really sacrifice to be able to make these games. On the other hand, is it not up to the citizens of a country if we can, during the middle of a pandemic, if something like this goes down? I don't know what the right answer is. I don't think that there's a good answer. I don't know. Do you respect and support the wishes of the citizens of the country of Japan? Or do you say we've spent so much money on this, people have busted their humps to train and get in athletic shape 2 years in a row, we've got to let these games go off, or to postpone it to next year and say, it is what it is. The people who trained and couldn't make it, I'm sorry, but we don't feel comfortable with this. So we're going to have the Summer Olympics and Winter Olympics in the same year in the same continent. I don't know what necessarily the right answer is there. I don't think, at the end, it's like everything else in the pandemic. There aren't good answers that we're choosing from, and there's not. I mean, we just have answers, and you do your best, and you hope that it works out. What do you guys do here? What would you do this if you're on the IOC board right now?
Educate me quickly, Will. Is there a reason why only 1% of Japanese citizens have received the vaccine? Is it just not getting to them fast enough?
I have no idea. No idea why Japan and the vaccine, why it's gone that way, especially considering where it's at for us and for England and for other countries.
I would say, are athletes from different countries ready or prepared to be in the bubble life once they get over to Japan? And are they going to go through similar quarantine rules that a lot of the North American sports leagues have adopted? You know, you get traded, you come over from country to country, continent to continent, you've got to not only, you know, quarantine for 7 to 10 days, whatever it is, but then from there, once you return back from what your stay is, however long it may be in Japan, competing in your respective sport, you're quarantining X amount of days as well. So I know different countries have different rules. The only reason why I know this, I just happened yesterday to know Prince Harry going over for a funeral, the royal family, he's having to quarantine for so many hours and days before he can attend his grandfather's funeral. So, but I remember I was just not, I was taken back by just the brevity of his stay and how long he didn't need to quarantine. And just, I know England itself has different rules. Look, if I've been training for 4 years, I've gone through the proper steps to make sure I'm vaccinated, to make sure that I have perfected my craft to be known as one of the best of all time. I mean, look, we have Olympic medalists that live here in Knoxville now. I've had a chance to meet a few of them, and I've had this conversation with them, and they said, you know, look, there's some people who would 100% be all in, and there's others, they understand that their safety isn't, you know, it might be in harm's way, and unfortunately they're going to have to put their dreams on hold or take a backseat for a later date. This might be one of the more difficult conversations we've ever had, because simply put, I think you could go through and ask 50 people. They would say, yes, they want to go and they want to compete. And I think you could ask 50 people, Will, and they would say, you know what? This is one of the major bummers of my life, but I understand kind of what's happening there and what's happening here back at home in the States.
Yeah, so it's I mean, right now they're still only canceling 65 and up and or vaccinating 65 and up in Japan. Okay. So it's got to be so tough because, I mean, for everything else and everyone else, what else, it's so easy for us to say, yeah, absolutely, go ahead and do this, right? Our numbers are going down or have been going down. We've got the vaccine that's rolling out, and most people can get the vaccine at this point that want the vaccine. So, but Japan's not in that situation. So for the people who live there, also, we have a lot of sprawl in the South. They live in cities, you know what I mean? So a lot of people in Japan do. So it's just a difference in culturally what they do, and also – I mean, the idea that if you could just put it off for one more, if we put it off for 1 year, why couldn't we just put it off for next year and have a combined summer and winter Olympics in the same year? I understand. I understand completely the idea of doing that. If it's going to help keep people safe, or if you can actually have fans that are able to come there, and then those billions of dollars that you've spent on infrastructure from tax money, you're going to be able to recoup that investment instead of just losing that investment. I understand those arguments right now for the people in Japan. I understand the argument the other way as well, but you're right. This is going to be one of those things where I don't know if we might not know if we're going to if we get this decision right for another year.
That's Will West, Tyler Ivins. Love it or leave it to wrap up hour number one of the program. Also, question, do you want to score from our friends at Buddy's Barbecue? Because we're giving you that chance coming up in hour three during the game. 99.1, you're listening to the Esports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
Rick Barnes has filled his final coaching vacant spots on his staff by adding Justin Ganey. Ganey comes to Knoxville by way of Marquette, where he served as associate head coach this past season. He has coaching and administrative experience in the ACC, Pac-12, Big East, and more. Lady Vol softball team shut out Tennessee Tech 8-0 Monday afternoon to improve the 29-6 on the year. Chelsea Seger and Riley West each had two hits, combined for three RBI on the day. Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman announced his retirement, finishing his career with three Super Bowl championships in 12 seasons with New England.
Now, I've always said, I'm going to go until the wheels come off. And they finally have fallen off. I'm going to leave you guys with two words. Foxborough, forever.
From Edelman on a video that he posted to his Twitter announcing his retirement yesterday. Turns 35 next month, ranks second in NFL history with 118 postseason receptions. Former Kansas City assistant coach Britt Reed, son of Andy Reed, has been charged with felony driving while intoxicated for his involvement in a car crash earlier this year that critically injured a 5-year-old girl. And the Braves came up short in extras, losing to the Marlins in 10 innings, 5-3. Have fun now and later with Quick Cash from the Tennessee Lottery. Stop by your nearest retailer and add Quick Cash with your Tennessee Cash, Lotto America, and Cash for Life ticket. 6:42, Pete Michaels traffic's coming up next. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
656-9900. Stanley Vincent Gates hotline available to you this morning. FM 99.1, AM 990, and worldwide at 991thesportsanimal.com. That's where you're going to want to stop by today all the way through the month of August. $5 now. Visit thesmokies.com and an opportunity for you to check out Sports Fest. That's the Sports Animal 99.1 Sports Fest. So much for you to get a hold of, from VFL autographs, from your chance to get the latest conversations and some of the greatest to ever do it at the University of Tennessee. When it comes to sports figures in the Knoxville area in East Tennessee, it's going to be happening at the Knoxville Expo Center Saturday, August the 7th. All the details now available at 991thesportsanimal.com. Let's get to it, shall we? Wrap up hour number one on a Tuesday. This is Love It or Leave It on TSL.
All right, guys, after 12 years in the NFL, Julian Edelman announced his retirement. Love It or Leave It was Edelman, Brady's top target during his tenure in Foxborough.
No, not at all. The conversation was Moss versus Welker, Moss versus Gronkowski, even Welker versus Aaron Hernandez. Like, don't get me wrong. There are a lot of people that Brady has made spectacular. Julian Edelman, probably one of them. I would even argue Edelman could probably have gone elsewhere and made a name for himself, but it certainly helped that he did it with Belichick and Brady. I don't even put Edelman probably in the top three. I think if you're talking about top targets, you're talking about Moss being one, you're talking about Welker likely being two, and probably Gronkowski being three. And I don't think that the Gronkowski number three spot, Will, is that far off removed from Welker. But Edelman's not in that list. I don't put him in the top three.
Yeah, I don't have him there either. I leave this. I've Gronk one, just how long Moss played with New England is why. So I would go Moss one, and then you can flip Moss versus Welker, whichever one you wanted to go with. Okay. But Gronkowski is number one for me, and Edelman's not really in that conversation.
The Jaguars have already given Trevor Lawrence their playbook, allowing him to add and remove anything he likes. Love or leave it, giving a rookie complete control over the offense in year one.
Yeah, I'm going to leave this. I think that you find out what he's capable. I'm okay with giving him the playbook. I'm not okay with saying, well, take out whatever you don't like. I am not a fan of that whatsoever yet. Let him understand the speed of the game and get a few years under his belt, and then once he's established himself, for gosh sakes, the Green Bay Packers still won't let Aaron Rodgers do that. This is a little too much too quickly, but I think it will still work out, and I think it's just probably more of a show of good faith than anything else by the Jaguars.
Yeah, look, 21 years he's been in the league, Daryl Bevelez, and he's the OC this year going into Jacksonville. Maybe he's the best quarterback he's ever worked with. Perhaps maybe there have been a little bit of restrictions on what he can and can't say or take away. The media reporting yesterday that obviously it's now all cemented and like we needed more confirmation. Trevor Lawrence was going to be the number one overall selection in a couple of weeks in Cleveland. I'm okay with it. Get familiar with it. You're ahead of it. But taking away, he's not literally ripping out pages, crumbling up, and putting him in a recycle bin. I mean, let's not make it too much of what it is than what they were reporting yesterday. But still, I'm going to leave this. I'm okay with you getting ahead of the curve, but anything else from, like, let's not move this, let's not do this here. Come on, you haven't even signed the contract yet.
I mean, Urban Meyer's not even that stupid, is he? I mean, come on.
Stop.
Last night?
He's not. But if you're going to whack the pinata, at least let Trevor Lawrence and his pearly white smile and beautiful hair do it.
I would never let an unsigned rookie take anything out of my playbook, ever. last night, Steph Curry surpassed Wilt Chamberlain on the Warriors' all-time scoring list. Love or leave it, Steph will spend his entire career in Oakland.
You know what? I'm going to love this. I know, I get it, loyalty in the NBA, if there's one sport where it's just like loyalty means nothing to these players, it's the National Basketball Association. If LeBron can leave Cleveland, if Durant can leave OKC, if players can continuously be traded or chase rings, there's no way loyalty should be high on anybody's list in the National Basketball Association. I think Steph Curry loves Oakland/San Francisco, just like I think Golden State loves Steph Curry and his family, his children, and everything he does. I'm going to call it now. I think Curry plays well into 14, 15 seasons in the NBA. I think Steph Curry plays every single minute of his career with the Warriors. I love this.
I'm going to leave this. The reason why the players don't show loyalty is because teams will cut you just as quickly, right? So right. It is the nature of the business. At some point in time, to me, this comes down to one question. Does Steph want to keep playing as long as he can? Or does he just say, okay, once I'm no longer elite, I'll hang it up and go do other things? Because you got the Curry brand. They just started with Under Armour, which is a multi-billion dollar venture that he's just started. He's got, you know, so many other things he could do away from the sport. Is Curry willing to go somewhere, ring chase, to get a few more rings and be an outside spot-up shooter that spaces the floor? Because he'll be amazing at that. Is he willing to go be what Ray Allen was at the back end of his career?
Yes.
Because he'll be amazing at that whenever he does decide to do that, if he decides to do that. I'm going to say yes, that he does leave and go somewhere else, but I just think Steph Curry loves basketball. That's why.
It was on this day in 1986 when the Celtics finished the regular season 40-1. At the Garden, love or leave it, will we see an NBA team finish a perfect 41-0 at home?
No, that's the greatest basketball team I've ever seen. I'll leave this. It's not going to happen. That's the best basketball team I have ever personally laid eyes on with my own eyes. And a lot of it was just they were stacked. Bill Walton, who's a Hall of Famer that they had, who had like a year where he was healthy again, and he was on that team. It was stupid how stacked that team was. That, you know, the other guys got a lot of guys with injuries. Larry Bird, who dealt with a lot of injuries after that. This was one of the last years that he was like really, really still played defense healthy. This team was just insane. If you look at the number of Hall of Famers that were on it, and I don't think we'll ever see this collection of talent on one team again, especially the depth of talent that they had. And so I just don't think we'll ever see this again. Also, dudes don't care, and there's load management.
82-game schedule, half on the road, half at home. Boston went 40-1 at home. I don't think anybody ever matches this. I don't think anybody ever comes close. So asking if somebody will top that and go undefeated 41-0 at home, no chance. Leave this 1,000 times over.
And last up, yesterday was the NHL trade deadline with over a dozen moves made before the close of business. Love or leave it, hockey has the least exciting deadline in sports.
Love it. And I'm a hockey guy. I like hockey. It's one of my favorite sports. Even I am going to tell a hockey guy who's a bigger fan than I am he needs to sit down. No, but not only do people not know the names because of the popularity, but you don't see the splashy blockbuster trades that we're used to seeing, especially in a year where they're trying to peel back a lot of money. So to hockey guy, to my friends that were blowing me up saying, why aren't the Predators making any big trades because they're back in playoff contention? This isn't enough. The front office should be ashamed of themselves. All right, pipe down, okay? It doesn't hold a candle to anything else in any other trade deadline. I'm sorry.
Okay, I love this. But it's not because of the lack of moves, because the NFL has fewer moves, it seems like. It's because right. No one makes up fake trades that aren't going to happen in the media. in hockey. So now when hockey moves back to ESPN, they'll make up fake trades that are never going to happen, and they'll talk about it for 4 weeks, and then they never get done the way that people do the NFL and the NBA. So
fantastic.
And Major League Baseball. So I will love this, but it's only because there are no media fabrications in hockey that we know of yet.
I feel like it's baseball, and then it's not even close for anything else, in my opinion. I mean, the NBA's got a little excitement. The NFL, eh. I mean, I know a whole lot of fake trades,
a whole lot of could so be traded. The answer is no every time.
And in baseball, too, you can make moves after the deadline. It's just so much more difficult. Right. But I just think nothing compares to Major League. Major League Baseball, you continue to take away from the game, but I think it still reigns supreme in terms of the trade deadline.
It's funny you say nothing compares, and that's a perfect time for us to cross right into talking about Sharon and the staff. Over at New Balance Knoxville, Will Suburban Shopping Center, the perfect fit every time. So I ask you, Will West, does anything compare to New Balance Knoxville?
Look, when it comes to training, literally, I get twice as much time out of a pair of New Balance shoes than I do any other brand. You love the styles, the colorways that they have for spring, made in the USA product. It's New Balance Knoxville.
All right.